Welcome Reverend Cranston back to our church tonight, the week of meetings. We enjoyed his ministry yesterday. We do welcome our brother Arlo and his wife, Mrs. Cranston as well, who have come tonight with him. We trust and pray the Lord will bless our brother as he comes and brings God's word afresh to our hearts this evening.
Returning this evening in the word of the Lord to the last book of the Bible and to the book of the Revelation. Turning to Revelation chapter 4. And as you know, our subject for this evening is our welcome into heaven. What will that welcome be like? As Mr. Patterson has already indicated, tomorrow night we'll be looking at the worship of heaven. With regard to our worship of the Lord here upon earth, we can learn much from the worship of the Lord in heaven. We live in a day whenever many would like to change the old-fashioned hymns that we sing, like the chains we believe to be the scriptural form of worship. Bring in some new modern methods. But we want to look at our worship in the light of the worship of heaven. And remember, the Lord has told us that we ought to do the Lord's will as it is done in heaven, so it should be done on earth. So we'll be dealing with that, Lord willing, tomorrow evening. But tonight I want to consider our welcome into heaven. We're turning to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation 4 and verse 1. After this, and those are important words, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 elders. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders, 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen. Pray the Lord will again add his blessing to the public reading of the Lord's own holy and infallible word. Before we consider God's word to our hearts this evening, let us unite once more our hearts around the throne of grace and prayer. Let us pray. Most loving and gracious eternal Father, we come humbly into thy holy presence. Thy word, Lord, even by the very reading of it, has reminded us of who thou art. Thou art the thrice holy God. We come, Lord, and bow before thee in all reverence, coming to hallow thy holy name. And, O Lord, we're glad tonight that we're here. We're just thankful for the opportunity of spending time around the Word. And, O Lord, I ask tonight for the help of the Holy Spirit of God. Yea, Lord, we would pray tonight, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, mend me and fill me. Yea, Lord, I would pray, Spirit of the living God, fall upon this assembly tonight. And, O God, come. Lift our eyes toward heaven. Lift our hearts toward heaven. Lift our thoughts towards heaven. And in looking towards heaven, may we look this night to Christ. Grant to me, Lord, I pray, the power of the Spirit of God, that I might be able to preach the Word, to preach Christ, and to preach the blood. In the Savior's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Our welcome into heaven. We've already considered heaven as the Father's house. Where is heaven? Well, it's the Father's house. Last night we considered the way to heaven. It's all right knowing about the Father's house, but if you're not in the way, you'll never be in the Father's house. But what would it be like for us, those of us who are going to heaven, those of us who tonight can rejoice that we're going to heaven one day? Well, here the Bible tells us, John tells us something of what it'll be like for us to be welcomed into heaven. For John says in the opening verse of Revelation 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Isn't that good to know? Isn't it good to know the door in heaven is still open? That we're not going to be shut out. We're going home one day and we'll go marching through the gates of the New Jerusalem. Praise the Lord, washed in the blood of the Lamb. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice I heard, John tells us, was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. I want you to notice how the chapter begins. It begins with the words, after this. After what? Well, it was after the Spirit of God had delivered the messages to the seven churches in Asia. And once the ministers of the seven churches in Asia received that word, and the chapter ends, chapter 3 ends, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches after this. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. In other words, upon hearing the word that was given to the seven churches, John immediately, we are told, looked up. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And my, what a word of instruction that is. Because whenever you and I hear the word of the Lord, when the Spirit of God speaks to us through the word, our thoughts ought to be on heavenly things. We ought to be looking up. We ought not to be looking out, but looking up. Our thoughts and our minds and our hearts ought to be on heavenly matters. And so it was with John, when the word was delivered, we read, after this I looked. He looked heavenward. And that's one of the blessings we have when we go to the Lord's house and come into God's house to worship the Lord, and we receive the word, and God's servant preaches the truth. Why? Our thoughts are taken away from temporal things, from carnal things, from worldly things, from fleshly things in our eyes, and our thoughts and our heart are upon heavenly things. That's what we want, isn't it? For we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We want to know about home. We want to be thinking about home. We want to be thinking about heaven. So when we hear the word, whether it's tonight or this week or Sabbath day by Sabbath day, let's pray, Lord, fix my eyes upon heaven. Lift my thoughts higher. Lift my heart away from these carnal things of this earth. Make me more heavenly minded. I've heard, I'm sure you have heard that saying, I think it's a load of nonsense. They talk about, oh, so-and-so was so heavenly minded, he's no earthly use. I tell you something, wish I was more heavenly minded. Wish we were all more heavenly minded. If we were more heavenly minded, we would be more of earthly use. What's the problem? So many are not heavenly minded, they're more earthly minded, carnally minded. To John, one of the Lord's servants, we're told that he looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. John was able to look into heaven. And you know something, for you and I, believer, we'll not just be able to look into heaven, we'll be able to go into heaven through the open door. And this reminds us that for the Christians, heaven's door will always be open. For the Christian, it is a welcoming sight. When transported, we rise and we see heaven's door open. For those, of course, who die without Christ, the heaven's door is shut. Will it be shut for you? Are you looking forward to entering to heaven's open door? As the Lord shut the door of the ark, shut the unbelievers out, the door was open for Noah and his family, and then he was shut in. And for John, looking in through this open door, this was John's introduction to heaven. And I almost envy John, don't you? This was his introduction to heaven. And we can learn from this what our welcome to heaven will be like. First of all, let us consider the greeting in heaven. The manner in which John was greeted will, I believe, be similar to how we as Christians will be greeted and welcomed into heaven, into the Father's house. Remember we said, yes, it was a place of meeting and place of fellowship and communion and happiness and joy and friendship. John records, the first voice which I heard. Doors open. He says, the first voice which I heard was, of course, the voice of Christ. For John, this was a pleasing voice. John would have recognized that voice. He had heard it many times before, as he had walked with the Savior and sat under his ministry. And this voice spoke to John, and it was as the sound of a trumpet. It was a voice which had gladdened his heart on many, many occasions. And just like you and I, believer, how often have we heard by faith the voice of the Lord, and we have been gladdened in our souls. We've gone out of God's house and we've rejoiced that we heard the voice of the Lord today. John heard the voice of the Lord whenever the door of heaven was opened. It was the first voice he heard. Oh, there were many other voices, but John heard the Lord's voice first. We sang there tonight, we long to see the Savior first of all. Don't we want to see him first of all? It was a voice like none other, described as the voice of a trumpet. Of course, Christ has a voice like none other. Pleasing voice. Children love to hear the voice of Christ. Often think there when the mothers of Salem brought their children to the Savior and asked him to bless them. They didn't run away afraid. He was a total stranger to them, and yet they gladly went to him and lifted him up in his arms and blessed them. They were glad to sit upon his knee. They were glad to listen to his voice. And wherever he went to preach, people were glad to hear that voice, because that was a sweet voice. That was a pleasant voice. That was a pleasing voice. Isn't that what it said? The common people heard him gladly. Common people. We talk about the ordinary 5'8". The ordinary 5'8" found the voice of Christ pleasing. Why do you think multitudes followed him? Why do you think multitudes? Yeah, I know they went to see him work the miracles, but they also went to hear his voice. They went to hear his word. It was a pleasing voice. And believer, this is what we have to look forward to. We'll be welcomed into heaven by that sweetest of all voices, the voice of Christ. John the Baptist had this to say about the Lord and his voice. He that hath a bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly. That was John. The friend of the bridegroom standeth and rejoices greatly because the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. Now think of that. There's John. He's the friend of the bridegroom. And when he hears the bridegroom's voice, he says, therefore my joy is fulfilled. Now what is it going to be like for us? John heard the voice of the Savior in passing, as it were. But we will be listening to the voice of the Savior for all eternity. And if John's joy was full, our cup of joy will be overflowing 10,000 times. For we'll be able to listen to that voice forever and ever and ever. Won't that be great? Sweetest of all voices. It'll be the first voice we'll hear when we enter heaven. When the time comes for us to bid farewell to the scene of time, and we're going down the valley with our face toward the setting of the sun, somewhere in the distance we'll hear that voice as the Savior calls us. And when we enter the valley of the shadow of death, there's a light in that valley. Christ is the light, and with the light will be the voice. And we'll not be afraid in that valley, because we'll hear the voice that is as the sound of a trumpet. We'll know the Lord will be in the valley with us, and he'll say to us, fear not, for I am with thee. And when we cross over chilly waters of Jordan, the first voice we'll hear on that happy golden shore will be the voice of our blessed Savior. Do you ever think about what the voice of Christ sounds like? Sure, we've often tried to imagine in our minds what the Lord Jesus actually looks like. Yes, we have a description. He's altogether lovely. But to put that into our minds, what does he actually look like? And what does he actually sound like? Well, we'll know one day. Praise the Lord. It's a pleasing voice. This first voice that John heard was also a particular voice. John describes the voice that he heard. I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me. You go back to Revelation 1 and verse 10. In Revelation 1 and 10, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Same voice. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. It's a good way to be in the Lord's day, isn't it? To be in the Spirit. When John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he heard the voice of Christ. If we are in the Spirit on the Lord's day, we also will hear the voice of Christ. You look there in the verse 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit of Revelation 4, verse 2. Immediately I was in the Spirit. We need to be in the Spirit here in the Lord's day. When we come to worship. In other times of the week, we may not be so much as being in the Spirit. But listen, in heaven, we'll always be in the Spirit. We'll always be in the Spirit to hear the voice of the Savior. We'll never be out of the Spirit. We'll never be in such a mind that we'll never hear the voice of the Lord when we get to the Father's house. We'll always be in the Spirit. For it'll be, as it were, in an eternal Lord's day. Won't that be great? Don't we look forward to the Lord's day? We look forward to each Sabbath day. But my, when we get to the Father's house, it'll be like an eternal Lord's day. Great. And this voice that John heard was a particular voice. It was the sound of a trumpet. And you look again at Revelation 1 and verse 11. And just in case there's any mistake as to the identity of the one who owned this voice, we read in Revelation 1 verse 11. Revelation 1 and verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega. So there's the voice. It was as the sound of a trumpet, and the voice that was sounded like a trumpet said, I am Alpha and Omega. That's Christ. There's no mistake. I am. Christ, of course, is the great I am. He is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. That tells us that this voice that spoke with John that day is a divine voice, the voice of Christ, the great I am. We'll see him one day. At long last, we will see him. We'll see the great I am. We'll see the great I am. We'll hear the voice of the great I am. The voice that spoke to Moses, called him up the mount. The voice that spoke to Saul of Tarsus. We'll hear that voice speaking to us. Be a delightful voice. No one else in Scripture is described as having a voice like this. Sound of a trumpet. I love listening to the sound of a trumpet that's well played. Gives a lovely, sweet sound. It's no surprise then that the voice of Christ is described as the sound of a trumpet. Delightful sounding voice. Is that not a beautiful way to describe the Lord Jesus? This voice that we will hear, the first voice that we will hear when we enter heaven's door, will be the voice of Christ that sounds like a trumpet. And how delightful that will be. You turn to Luke chapter 4. And in Luke 4, the Lord Jesus is beginning his earthly ministry. He begins at home. His earthly home, where he's brought up in Nazareth. Remember what he told the disciples before he left them and went home to his father? Told them to tarry at Jerusalem. And that's where they were to be witnesses unto him, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. They were to begin in Jerusalem. In other words, they were to begin at home. When the Lord Jesus commenced his earthly ministry, where did he begin? He began at home, Nazareth. And he went into the synagogue there in Nazareth. And the minister handed him the book. And he opened the book at Isaiah chapter 61. And he started to read. And then we read in verse 20, in Luke 4, verse 20, and he closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Look at verse 22. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. They wondered. They were absolutely enthralled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth, or that may be rendered the words of grace which proceeded out of his mouth. They were enthralled. And these were ungodly men. And yet they were enthralled by the words that came from the lips of Christ. Now listen, if the people in the synagogue in Nazareth who were ungodly and unsaved were enthralled, what will it be like for you and me? What will it be like for us who are looking forward to seeing Christ and looking forward to hear him and to hear that voice? Oh, talk about being enthralled. Take our breath away. I'm sure many a preacher has anyway said, I wished it was possible for there have been a recording of C.H. Spurgeon. Preaching. We have all wondered, what did Spurgeon sound like? Or Jonathan Edwards? Or George Whitefield? These mighty men that were mightily used of God, what were their voices like? But above Spurgeon, And above Whitfield and above AdWords is Christ. What does his voice sound like? One day we will know. One day we will know. And we will listen to that voice forever. Something here very personal as well. John said, "The first voice which I heard was, as it were, the trumpet talking with me." Now you notice the wording. John didn't say that the first voice that he heard was the voice of a trumpet talking to him. Doesn't say that. This voice that sounded like a trumpet, he says it was talking with me. Just as it was with the Lord and the Emmaus disciples. Because they rejoiced or recalled afterwards, their heart burned within them as the Savior drew near and went with them, and he talked with them. In other words, all those 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, they were in fellowship, they were in communion with the Lord. The Lord was talking with them. And John says, the first voice I heard was the voice of him who has a voice like a trumpet, and he was talking with me. Talking to someone and talking with someone are two completely different things. And whenever John spoke about the voice talked with me, do you know what that symbolized? Do you know what that indicated? That indicated the commencement of communion with Christ in heaven. It was the start. It was the commencement of communion with Christ, uninterrupted, unequaled, unending, unparalleled communion with Christ. As the Savior talked with John, so when we enter into heaven, we enter the Father's house and we're welcomed home. And the first voice we will hear will be the voice of our blessed, loving, adorable Savior. And he'll begin to commune with us immediately. And that communion will never be interrupted. That communion will never end. And all who have sought to serve the Lord, every child of God will be looking forward to hearing that voice. And to hear those words that we long to hear. Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And what joy will fill our hearts. What a welcome awaits us. The Lord will welcome us. I'll tell you one thing, it'll not be Peter. There's nonsense people talk about, oh, Peter meeting you at the gate. Peter will not be at the gate. Christ will be at the door. His smile will be the first to welcome us. His voice will be the first voice we'll hear. Oh, just think of it. Just think of it. whenever you're away from home, if you're a grandparent, you phone back home and you hear the voice of your granddaughter or grandson, puts a lump in your throat just to hear their voice. What will it be like when we hear the Savior's voice? We press on quickly and we see the gaze around heaven. The greeting, then you have the gaze around heaven, because we're told, after this I looked and behold a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And we're told about the one who sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper, a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. My, what a picture. What a glorious sight will await us. As John gazed around heaven, we notice first of all the summons. The first voice that John heard in heaven said unto him, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. It's the voice of the Savior. And isn't it marvelous that the voice of the Savior is still using the same word? Come. Remember the first time you heard that from the lips of the Lord? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Remember that? Remember the number of times he has asked us to come unto him? Well, he's still using that word. And one day he will use it when he will call us to heaven and he will say, come up hither. Remember that day when he called us in salvation? I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. When we heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Well, we'll hear it again. He'll call us again one day, and he'll say, my child, come up hither. That'll be our departure. The Lord spoke with John and called him, saying, come up hither. Someday we'll hear the call again. And he'll be calling us away. We use that term as well, don't we, whenever a dear saint has gone home to be with the Lord. Maybe they passed away in the middle of the night. And the family tells their friends, the son, the husband, the wife was called away last night. Called away. It's a lovely expression, that. Called away from this world of woe. I don't know about you, but this past number of couple of years, the wickedness in this world just seems to have increased at an unbelievable rate, and it seems to encroach upon us. And you just don't want to listen to the news anymore because you hear about more atrocities. And my, whenever we'll be called away, we'll be called away from all that. Called away from the wickedness and the corruption and the filth and the depravity of man. We'll be called away into the presence of the Savior who's altogether lovely, into the Father's house that is holy and pure and sinless. Oh, one day the Lord will say, come up hither. I'm going to call you away from all this. I'm going to call you away. No wonder. No wonder Paul, when he was writing to the church at Philippi, revealed, opened his heart to the believers there, and really just told them how he was homesick for heaven. Oh, I'm in a strait betwixt two. Having a desire to depart, to be with Christ. I'm sure you've heard believers, maybe aged believers, and they've run their race almost, and they're just saying, I wish the Lord would call me home. Get away from this painful body. Get away from the pollution of this world. I just wish the Lord would call me home, and that I can be in the Father's house, that I can be with my Savior. Come up hither. That speaks of a departure. It speaks also of a direction. Our Lord said to John, come up hither, come up. Isn't it good to know, believer, we're going higher and higher someday? We get down in the dumps at times. We get down and depressed. But the day is coming when the Lord will say, come up hither. He'll lift us out of the doldrums. He'll lift us out of the dungeon. And we'll enter the door of heaven. And we'll enter the Father's house. And the first voice we'll hear will be the voice of our dear Savior welcoming us home. As we pointed out yesterday, He'll welcome us home with open arms. He'll call us, draw us to His side. Glad to see His home. That's it. We may have a loved one who has gone away on a far journey for a number of months, and whenever they come home and they enter the door, we embrace them and say, I'm glad to see you home. But when we get to heaven, the Lord will say the same thing. He'll be saying to it, I'm glad to see you home. A number of years ago, in a town called Hamilton, it's on the west side of Toronto, a man stood up in a meeting and gave his testimony. And he told the people in that congregation that he was John Harper's last convert. John Harper was on the ship Titanic. And whenever the ship was going down, John Harper, who was a godly man, did as much evangelizing as he possibly could as the ship was going down. And he kept being swept back and forth towards this individual. And John Harper asked this man, was he saved? He needed to get right with God. Well, that man was John Harper's last convert. He got saved and was rescued. Gave his testimony in a Hambledon church number of years later. And John Harper was tossed against another individual. And this man was thrashing about in the water. And he said to him, he says, Mr. Harper, we're going down, we're going down. John Harper said, no, sir, we're going up, we're going up. We're going up, believer. We're not going down, we're going up. The Lord will call us. Come up hither. And he'll call us away from all the sorrows and the sufferings and all that we have to face in this world. We're going up. Our time is gone. I just want to mention there that we read in verse 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. 12 times in the chapter, the word throne is mentioned, indicating that the throne is the central focus of heaven. But not so much the actual throne or the seat as the one who sits on the throne. Because, and immediately it says, and I was in the Spirit, and behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper. Now, is this interesting? Here's John, and he's describing Christ. And how does he describe him? He says, he that sat on the throne was to look upon like a jasper, like a sardine stone. John was given a wonderful view of Christ in chapter 1 of Revelation. And John described Christ in the only and the best way that he possibly could. You know the way you were to see something and you want to describe it, but you can't just put it into words. I remember one time I had the opportunity to go out to where the Reverend Dave Mook was ministering out in Phoenix, Arizona. One day a number of us were out there with the members of Presbytery, and he took us up to the Grand Canyon. What an amazing sight. And I remember having my camera with me, and I took pictures here and I took pictures there and I took pictures all day, and I got them home and I got them developed, and they all looked the same. Because the camera couldn't capture the splendor of the Grand Canyon. And to try and put into words what the Grand Canyon is like, it's nigh on impossible. And I believe that's what John was faced with here. And in Revelation 1, how could he describe Christ? Well, he said here that the one that sat on the throne was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. You know what John, I believe, was saying? He describes Christ in the form of two precious stones. And this was the only way that John could describe the preciousness of Christ to John. And isn't that what Christ is to us? He's precious to all who believe in Him. Precious Savior, precious Lamb, precious blood, precious friend, precious Redeemer. And He said also, and there was a rainbow round about the throne. What does the rainbow speak to us of? Speaks to us of peace. The Lord promised He would never destroy the world again with a flood, and He set the bow in the sky to prove it. And there's the rainbow round about the throne where the Christ, the precious Savior, is sitting. And there we will be at peace with Christ. The rainbow will always be in glory, because we'll always be at peace in glory. Welcome home. Welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Our gracious, eternal, loving Heavenly Father, we thank the Lord Thou hast led us to higher ground tonight. Lord, we've catched a glimpse of that glory land, of the One who will welcome us, the One who says, come up higher. We thank the Lord tonight we can say, He's precious to me. We bless the Lord for the view of our lovely Savior, of our lovely Redeemer, of the One whose voice is as many waters, the One who will welcome us home. O God, we believe, Lord, we've been challenged tonight. For in getting a glimpse afresh of Christ, we bemoan the fact that so often our minds are not set on heavenly things. Lord, lift us higher. Set us free from the carnal mind. May we consider more of our blessed Redeemer and of that inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, reserved for us in heaven. Thank the Lord for Thy presence tonight. Thank Thee, Lord, for helping Thy servant. May the Word of God, may this vision, Lord, ring on in our soul. Impart us, Lord, for a little season in Thy fear and in Thy favor. For any, Lord, that are not assured of entering in, God, bring them by Thy grace tonight. The saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us, we pray. Accept of our thanks. Lord, we're looking forward to tomorrow night. We're looking forward, Lord, the tide of blessing rising. Lord, do us good. Help us for Jesus' sake and for God's eternal glory. Amen.